Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
This is RS1.
Part of the Radio Show Limited Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome along to our live and exclusive coverage of the Hankook 12 Hours of Kuwait. It's great to have your company for this qualifying session, which will be coming up in around about 5 minutes' time. It's the Radio Show Limited team broadcasting around the circuit and indeed around the world, coming up to 8 o'clock here in Kuwait. That's just coming up to 5 o'clock in the United Kingdom. And qualifying is next, live and exclusive here on the Radio Show Limited network of channels.
This is RS1, part of the Radio Show Limited network.
Well, it was 2000 and what, Phil, for the first Dubai 24 Hours?
I think 2015, John.
For our first coverage. Of
2005, my
2005, yes, yes, indeed. 2005 for the first Dubai 24 Hours, which part of the driving talent was one Toto Wolff, who decided to see if he could make his way as a motor racing driver long before he got involved in management at Williams and then more famously at AMG Petronas Mercedes-Benz. And since that race, 22 circuits have been visited, and this is the 23rd. So welcome, Kuwait Motor Town, to the Kreventic family, and you are, as I say, the 23rd different circuit. John Hindhoff and Phil Anson joining you here at the track and around the world for this first piece of qualifying. We've got Joe Bradley and Nick Damon in the wings, quite literally, as they're a commentary box further down, and we'll pop those in throughout this. Dieter Questa, by the way, our producer up in London, has reminded me, was also in that car, BMW, that won the first Dubai.
And guess who it was sponsored by, John?
Who was it sponsored by?
Red Bull.
It was sponsored by
it
Red
was
Bull.
It was. He had a Red Bull driving
was
suit
that,
on.
Was that
Yes.
Yes. I remember that now. I remember it well. So we have qualifying coming up to set the grid, the starting grid, at noon tomorrow. High noon is when we get underway. Noon till midnight for the inaugural running of the 12 hours here at Kuwait Motor Town. We have 21 cars listed. 18 cars are here. Three more cars are on their way. And we expect to see those cars later on this evening. And therefore, they will be out doing a wee bit of extra practice tomorrow morning, Phil.
Yes, indeed, because of the just some shipping delays and people winning soccer matches, etc., etc. Did cause a few issues, but the team here at Kreventic once again have pulled it together amazingly, and this is going to be an exciting qualifying session because it's the first one we've ever had here. Now, just going through how qualifying works. There are three individual 15-minute sessions. Each session must have a different driver. There's no refueling to be done during that session. And the fastest lap for each car for each session will be added together, divided by three, and that will give you your qualifying time.
No fuel and no tyres.
No fuel, no tyres, exactly, John.
So one set of Hankook tyres will be put on. Now, why is that significant? One, it saves money for the team.
Yeah, indeed.
And it's all about being a bit more sustainable nowadays in motorsport as much as anything else. We're trialling in various forms of motorsport, trialling longer life tyres and sustainable and renewable fuels. The other thing is it means that there is a little bit of tactics going. So do you put your very fast driver in at the beginning when the tyres are fresh and send him out as the engines are firing?
Yep.
Spot on. As we're expecting, 10 seconds to go for the green flag. Do you put your very fast driver on and say, right, fast Dave, off you go, get the best out of those Hankook Racing slicks and disappear into the evening time? Or do you put your fast driver in last and say to your less quick driver, slightly less quick Bob,
yes,
you have the opportunity to put in a time on the tyres when they're at their freshest, but also the car, of course, is at its heaviest because it's got the most fuel in. It's a real strategic conundrum.
And we have had the teams out for pretty much all of the day today in private sessions and in official practice sessions. And I think a lot of that was deciding which way to go with this, because the track is green, and a green track means that there's not a lot of rubber down, and we're in a very sandy, dusty part of the world, and race cars rely on traction, and having that traction there, and we were talking to some of the drivers down in the pits earlier on today about how this track will evolve through the day and night. And from those discussions that we were getting between everybody, we've sort of worked out that I reckon the fastest driver will do the second stint. Okay, he's got a slightly lighter car, but the tyres will be only, you know, we don't know how many laps they're going to do in 15 minutes. They may do an out lap, two hot laps, and an in lap. So we don't know how they're going to preserve their tyres to try and get that time. So it's going to be a very interesting conundrum, and we will only know as we have the green flag now and the cars are leaving the pits and heading out on to this 5.913 kilometre long circuit, 20 corners. The main straight is connected by two corners, one corner. From turn 20 to turn 1 is 890 metres. The GT3 cars are going through turn 1 flat, and then there's over 1,000 metres before you get to turn 2 hairpin.
I much prefer 1,000
kilometres. Yes, indeed.
This is a circuit that has been open for a little while now, but of course world events has meant that the evolution of this circuit and the events that it was hoping to get was slightly stymied. You're not missing anything, although everyone's out of the pit lane. There are no fastest laps coming in at the moment as people get up to speed. No tyre warmers allowed in this, by the way. The headlights of the car streaming away. We can see, I would say, about 85% of the circuit from our lofty position atop the grandstand, which can seat over 7,500, or nearly 7,500 people.
Indeed.
It's over 373, actually. We're about 30 metres off the ground, which means the horizon is about 13 and a bit miles. There is a calculation for that Nick Damon and I did. It involved square roots, which made us have to get out the slide rules. So cars going around this circuit, as I say, opened in 2018. Herman Tilke's design agency put this track together. There's a variety of different circuit configurations. We're on what's called the Grand Prix circuit, and that is a fair... a lot of places have Grand Prix circuits and aren't available for Grand Prix. This is an FIA, a Grade 1 circuit.
Indeed,
so
it
is up to the F1 safety standards. It's also an FIM, that's the Federation International Motorcyclisme, that's the motorbike version of the FIA, Class A circuit. So that's everything up to MotoGP. So both of the highest versions can come of the two- and four-wheeled motorsport can come through here when they can get a deal together for it. We went round it yesterday. It is a part of the Kreventic weekend to allow the pro drivers to show their wares around a new track or even an existing track to some of their less experienced compatriots in the car in their higher cars. Now, this isn't at speed. It's not a Grand Prix. Nobody's going quickly. What it does is gets you used to where the curbs are, where the rises and fall. And I can tell you, this is a really technical circuit. And from turn 2 right the way through to turn 18, you are busy.
Very busy.
That's half the track in terms of, certainly in terms of distance, and probably a little more than that in terms of time, Phil.
Yeah, I think when we were chatting about this circuit with the drivers, it's sort of like you have three straights, but then you have a section, as you said, from turn 2 to turn 18, turn 3 to turn 18, you're working all the time. there's no respite, and you're working the tyres very hard during that period. Mm-hmm. You can't afford to... This circuit flows as we have a car 701 getting his time disallowed for track already? Limits at turn four, when turn four and turn nine are going to be watched very, very closely. So that this is the 701 car having an
That's
issue
the vortex.
There. That's the vortex. You'll hear that. It makes a very loud V8 rumble. Indeed. So, yeah, this is going to be an interesting way, because we found it very difficult in a hire car to keep it between the curbs. And what we found with those curbs, being an FIM circuit, they are really flat. And the cars can drive over them and not bottom out like on a traditional, say, a Yas Marina or a Dubai Autodrome type circuit. So the drivers will be exploring all of the various... various areas where they can do this. Charles Putman just putting in his quickest lap, a 201.676 in the number 85 Mercedes, 85 car.
And this is the final race of the 2022 season. It will decide who takes home the
championship of countries.
Of continents,
yeah. That's it, John.
Trophies,
yep.
In both the GT and the TC classes. We have two different championships running at the same time. More than that in terms of classes, but broadly speaking, the GT cars are what you would recognise as GT3s and GT4s, some Porsche Carrera Cup cars, yep, as well. Then the TC cars are TCRs, again, that's a global formula, and some TC cars as well. And it's very interesting how this has worked out. The championship is very close indeed. And indeed, three different teams here in each of those championships still in with a shout of both the GT and the TC Championship of the Continents titles.
Indeed, in the TCR, we have all top three cars here at the moment. And it's looking at the 159 car, the RBA, BBR car, Cupra Leon competition TCR, they're leading it on 57 points. In second position is the AC Motorsport Audi R3 LMS TCR on 51 points. And then in third position is the Wolf Power Racing Audi R3 LMS TCR on 43 points. That's going to get decided this weekend, John.
And whatever happens, Wolf Power are multiple champions. They're a little bit of an outsider at the moment, but whatever happens, it will be a new manufacturer.
Yes,
because it's been VW who've taken this championship in the past, and they're not represented. Wolf Power used to be teamed up with Autorama, now have gone on their own and they've moved over to another VAG brand, that's the Audi. One of the Porsches has just gone through with phenomenal scrolling LEDs on the header bars above the door. Now, I think that was one of the HRT cars.
Yes, that was Ahmed Al-Gammon, who went to the top in the 47 car, 154.582. That's just told me that it's three...
MRS car, excuse me.
That's just told me that that's three laps to get temperature into your tyres. So that's the third lap, and we're on representative time of where we were in that free practice session earlier on today. So that makes it a very... the times are coming down. Temperature, 23 degrees. Humidity, 67%. The flags on the infield are absolutely drooped. So there's no wind at all at the moment. They're limp at the moment. As we have now had 17 cars set respective laps. And I'm noticing people not going out immediately. And the 909 car just having its lap disallowed for exceeding track limits at turn five.
Yeah, what we should say about that is that happens immediately at timeservice.nl. There are several places that are being very closely monitored, all the tracks monitored, and we do have some lights here. It's not the bright lights that you would expect when you see the WEC at Bahrain or the racing that we'll have in late January at Abu Dhabi. It is enough to be able to see around the circuit and see where the next track is, but you still need your headlights set up right. Yep. I really like this, actually, because I think it's a nice compromise between safety and really not having to have lights on the cars at all. Well, you do here, and they're very bright, and we've got people running additional lights here.
Yes.
Through goes one of the Cupras going through there. BBR are here, of course. They're the form team in the Cooper Leon competition TCR. That is Pasarit Promsambat in that car. I had a quick chat with that team earlier on. They've been the dominant force this year. It would be almost unthinkable that they don't win the championship of the continents. And if they've been that good, how come they haven't already run this championship? Well, that's simple, because what you take for this championship is your result from the Dubai 24 Hours, which was in the early part of January this year, your best result from the European long distance races, and then this race makes up the third point. So there's only actually 3 point scoring rounds. So it doesn't matter how many you've won, you can only carry your two best scores into this race weekend. Dominic Oli Burke going fastest in the GTX category. We'll think of that as a GT car for the moment. That's the KTM Crossbow, the number 714 in the Crossbow Works colours. The KTM Works colours of orange and black, going up to third place at the minute. And Abdullah Ali Al-Khalifi just going up into fourth position. Now, this is a great collaboration between HRT, very well known and well run endurance machines that they prepare, QMMF, which is the Kuwaiti Motorsport Federation, effectively fielding a all Kuwaiti driver lineup in that number 9-2-9. And Abdullah Ali Al-Khalifi doing the work there in this first part with a 158.354. Best lap 154.5. That's pretty much the same as we saw this afternoon. Track temperatures will have fallen just a wee bit from them, but we've had a little bit of cloud cover this afternoon. It hasn't been boiling hot. One thing I will say about this circuit, and Nick and Joe are going to be very appreciative of this tomorrow, and tomorrow is race day, let's not forget, if for those of you who aren't in the region, you are always in the shade in the pit lane.
It's a brilliant design, isn't it, John?
It is. It
absolutely, and it looks after the pit crews and also the drivers and also the people in the grandstand. So it's a really, really good thing to do here. 3 minutes to go in this first of 15-minute sessions, and it's Ahmad Al-Ghanem leading the way in the Team Kuwait by MRS GT Racing. That's the Porsche 911 running in the GT category. Car 32, Lucas Groenewold in second position, Team GP Elite in another Porsche 911. And that KTM up in third place already, that is very, very impressive, John.
Yes, it is. It's a little bit away, but it isn't. I mean, that is in its own class. GTX is not the same as GT3. As I say, we'll kind of group all the GT cars together. And in fact, they will be together for the overall classification in the GTs. The same as TC and TCR are the same. The three cars, by the way, that we won't see tonight, the Lamborghini Huracan, another GTX car. This is the 710 of Liebherr Motorsport. HRT Performance's two Porsche Cup cars. All the Porsche Cup cars are 992 versions, so that is the most recent version with the reverse gooseneck wing with the revised aerodynamics and, of course, the new 992 body shell, the eighth iteration of that venerable body shape. 60 years old next year, the Porsche 911.
Wow.
Amazing. So the HRT Performance and the QMMF by HRT, El Kata entered car. Again, a collaboration with local drivers. Those cars are on their way here at the moment, but held up a little bit, much to the chagrin, of course, of the organisers and the teams. But has to be said, everybody here doing their absolute level best to get those cars here.
Indeed, and cars now coming into the pits, we've only got just over a minute to go in this session, John. And Ahmad Al-Ghanem, Lucas Groenewold and Dominic Obert, our top three at the moment. Looking down a little bit further into the GT4 category, which is Darren Jorgensen is currently in the lead of that. 207.784, that's in the BMW M4 GT4.
And as you say that, he's usurped by David Holloway in the all-British crewed Aston Martin 429. This is the new 4-litre Aston Martin, the V8, which is effectively the Mercedes engine car. They provide the engines to Aston Martin for the road cars. Remember when that Vantage was launched both in road and race form? And talking to the guys at Aston Martin in the middle part of of England over at Banbury, and they were astounded at how much leeway they had, were given by Mercedes-Benz with that AMG 4-litre engine as to what they could change, how they could do the tuning, not just tweaking the electronics, different camshafts, etc., going into the road cars and the race cars to give it a more Aston Martin personality. So Century Motorsport, they're nicking provisional pole away at the very last knockings. The first car that will take the checkered flag as the first 15 minutes is over, as Ivars Vallès in the Audi RS3 LMS. That is the Wolf Power Racing number 116 car, sitting third in the Championship of the Continent at the moment. And they are in third position in their class at the moment, sitting behind both BBR and AC Motorsport. So the top three in the Championship, BBR, AC and Wolf Power, top three qualifiers in TCR, and therefore in the TC category at the moment. Huffer Racing by Motorsport. Michael Bonk just in the pit. Actually, he's ahead of that Wolf Power Racing car. So he's the best of the two TC cars, the BMW M2 CS. That's competition racing, competition sport. And what are the other classes? 992. Wow, how about fourth position then for Abdullah Ali Al Khalifi?
Yeah,
that's a super time there with that 158 and change, 158 in third, 929 then in fourth place overall. And the top of the stack, as the checkered flag has come out, is another local team, Phil.
Yeah, I'm really surprised at the closeness of the GT, GTX and 992. But yeah, the 992... second in that category, obviously Ivo Brookers, and the Brookers name once again here at a Creventic event. Isn't that amazing? I think they've been to nearly all of the Creventic events around the planet, John. But yeah,
Ivo Brookers is racing with his two sons.
Yeah,
now.
That's fantastic.
It is the family outing, and they have raced touring cars down through the years, but made the step up into the Porsche GT3 Cup 992 cars a season or so ago. Couldn't get one for the full season, had to rent one, and now they have got their own car. That was a late arrival, in fairness, so they've been pounding around today to get the themselves dialed in, because of course nobody, not the engineers or the drivers, have any experience of this circuit, because this is the first international event here at Kuwait Motor Town. Welcome along if you are just joining us. So it is Team Kuwait by MRS GT. Well done to Ahmed Al Ghanam, who is the top of the charts at the moment by what, just on half a second, actually, to Team GP Elite, also well known in this area of the world, Lucas Groeneveld, and another Porsche. These are the GT3 versions of the Porsche. New car out, of course, now, and their customers, Porsche Motorsports customers, will be getting the 992 GT3R as soon as possible. Porsche are, at the moment, at Weissach, at their motorsport facilities, they are literally having no days off. I think they've got two shifts on at the moment, because they're building these cars and shelling them out like peas. Very expensive.
Very expensive peas, John.
Very expensive and very impressively performance-based peas, but still, they are working so hard. I had a long chat with the guys from Porsche recently about that. They're prioritising the American customers first. Now, why are they doing that? Quite simply, because they need their cars for the first week in January to go to the Raw before the Rolex 24 and then the Rolex 24. Wow. So some of their, I believe that some of their customers in the States will be getting their cars either the middle of this month or the beginning of next month, so that they can do the full season. The European customers tend to not need their cars quite as early, and they'll therefore get their cars probably at the turn of the year. When the poor workforce at Weissach actually get any time off, I think is probably July, the way they are working at the moment. Phil, I'm going to ask you to step away for a little bit, and we'll bring in Nick Damon to the booth, and he can have a little bit of a chat. So we are one third through this session, and you're listening live around the world on Radio Show Limited's RS1. Good to have your company wherever you are. And thank you for joining us. if we're joining, if you're spending part of your evening, your morning or your afternoon with us. If you want to get in touch on Twitter, it is at RSL Studio. Use the hashtag 24H series or hashtag 12HQ8. In fact, use both of them and we get the stats from that so that we know where around the world you are. At RSL underscore studio if you'd like to join us. Nick Damon is with us in the studio at the moment and we'll be going green in just a sec. So, Nick, welcome to the booth.
It's lovely. I've travelled the whole 3 metres in the one next door, which is going to have our...
Which is very, very similar.
It's going to have the Arabic track announcer tomorrow. But today, it's me and me and Joe and our computers. We've been listening to you on RS1.
Excellent.
So I keep...
You mean you couldn't hear it from the extremely efficient PA system?
A little bit echoey. And what's been happening, I've been going, oh, he's missed that. Oh, then realising you're 30 seconds behind. Oh, he's missed that. No, he's still 30 seconds behind. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing 30 seconds behind. So.
Live in Sound and Vision tomorrow. You're on the grid from just after 11 o'clock. There's an awful lot going on, which we can't tell you about at the moment because there's a couple of surprises.
Yes, I'm on early. I've got extra time. There's a possibility I might have 15 minutes with no cars. So I've planned a complete song and a dance.
Yeah.
I'm taking requests for my favourite songs from the musical. And so far, the number one request is don't sing any.
Yeah, well, yes. Do you know Far Away? this is a new circuit for all of us. We're ticking off another one. Not often we get to do this now. I've done two new circuits for me this
new
year.
New circuit? New country for me.
New country for you. I have been here before, although it was 20 years ago. There have been some significant changes. Very smooth through the airport when we came in a day or so ago. And thank you very much to the staff down at the Hyatt in town, who not only made life very, very easy for us when we checked in, pretty tired after a long overnight flight and a day at the track yesterday, but they also left a nice little present in our room. A chocolate sculpture, actually.
A chocolate cornucopia. It was a chocolate road on a chocolate plinth with chocolates and a chocolate support, a little chocolate kind of banner saying chocolatey, Q8 Motor Corporation.
Q8 Motorsports checkered flags, wasn't it? Really nice.
And apparently, Joe managed to get two of them due to some strange situation. But some quirk. But in fairness, there's enough chocolate for anybody there. So
we've got the two Porsches ahead, Team Kuwait by MRS and Team GP Elite. That was a third of the way through. It's been impressive how the teams and drivers have got down to business here because, as I said to Phil, there's absolutely no data for this. There's not even... I don't think this is on a sim, this
it's
track yet, either.
Not on a sim, no. I was chatting to one of the guys who was responsible for the design and the build, working with Herman Tilke, of course. It was one of these circuits where they take some of the best bits of all the other tracks, move them around slightly. They have their own version of the corkscrew that's not quite as big a drop at 12 metres as the corkscrew, which is, 475,000 metres down. It always feels that way. Mm. But we were lucky enough to get on the track yesterday in the higher cars. And even in those machines, it's pretty impressive. You've got some lovely features on it. So it's a really nicely designed circuit. It's got the longest left-hander in the history of the world, I think, possibly.
Well, the only way it could have been a longer left-hander is if it actually went back around on itself and went under or over itself.
Yes, full-on Suzuki, wouldn't it have to be?
All the way, quite extraordinary. Looking forward to the race, we'll just let these drivers, new drivers, but same tyres with the fuel load given to them by their teammate. And there's another, by the way, part of the strategy. Who uses the tyres the most? Do you put your fast guy in early? How much fuel do you put in? Do you put enough fuel to do 3 laps each, 4 laps each, 10 laps each? Because fuel is weight and weight is performance. So we'll let these guys get up to speed. Again, talk about this track. Nobody's got any data for it at all. So the mechanics have had to think about this. And the engineers have had to do fairly quick engineering.
Yeah, as you pointed out, you can't pan thousands of laps around a sim. It's not on any sim. The advantage of coming round, and not many people have had a chance to test it, as I think you said earlier, was the fact whilst the circuit was completed at the back end of 2019, of course, the world then shut down for 2 years. So the international races and the international visits they wanted to have. They have had some localised sports car racing, and there have been lots of track days, but you need to be very local to have done many laps, and then you've got to try and get the actual data for the car. So it's, yeah, it's a case of going out. I mean, it's, you know, I'm not sure whether they were the same as when we went out on the cars. I mean, it's pretty similar. Where's it go? Where's the track go again? There's a left, there's a right, there's another left. Now you can look at a track map, but that doesn't tell you anything about the... I mean, despite the fact that, on the whole, Q8 is flat as a pancake, they have managed to get a reasonable amount of undulation, isn't it? It's, for example, it's got, you know, it's got a good bit of up and downiness on it. I assume that's mainly by building the track up at one side and down at other sides. But it's not all flat. It's got a good variety of rise and fall.
What I was going to say before I interrupt myself talking about fuel and tactics, this is going to be a tyre management race, isn't it?
It's really, really hard to tell with no information, because the key thing you don't know, and I don't know, and talking to the teams, when I didn't speak to them at the end of that long session earlier, but at the beginning of it, is what is the abrasiveness of the track? And they won't actually know either, because they've tested it when it was green, had that fine, dusty sand you get here on there.
And we did have a few spots of rain overnight. Mm.
But I think what will happen is the track should clean up. Now they're going to have a bit of practice in the morning as well. It's not going to be a completely virgin surface between re-dusted over the course of tonight. So they are having a bit of practice tomorrow morning to make up for some of the cars who haven't been able to get out there. I think it's a bit of a voyage to unknown.
Looks like the change of driver has not necessarily changed what's going on at the top. Unfortunately, we haven't got the driver IDs in these second cars coming through on our screen. I'm sure our timing partners at timeservice.nl will get that sorted out. For a moment, the KTM Crossbow went to the top. That's the Razzin More Than Racing KTM Crossbow, the 714. CP Racing in pole position at the moment as far as the championship is concerned, have now gone into second with a 154.1 in this session. And at the top, Team Q8 by MRS Racing, as they were, with their Porsche with a 155.066. Okay, so that is on average, that is. Let me pull up another screen to give myself... Yeah, so the fastest time... that's an average of 154.8 for that Porsche. So we're getting a picture now, developing. The very fastest lap that we've had is a 54.1 by CP Racing, which would suggest to me that that's Shane Lewis in that car now. Had a long chat with Shane before. He's going quicker this time around as well. This is the number 85. They had another car out today in the private test. If you're following us on Twitter, on RSL Studio, which is how you can get in touch with us, posted some pictures of that car, and that was A, to get a little bit of extra time, but mainly as a shakedown for that car. That car will be renumbered as the 85 at the Dubai 24 Hours in January. It's staying in region, and they were bedding in a couple of brake sets. You match brake pads to the brake discs or rotors all the way around the car. So that's what they did then. They took them off, marked them up, put them in boxes, all with little stickers on them, and took them away nicely, like good race teams do, not just throwing everything into a flight case willy-nilly.
Sorry, isn't that what you do then?
And having all your cables all over the place.
I thought you threw it all into a flight case, and you got home and put it out on your garage floor and sorted it back out again.
Ah, right.
That appears to be how I do in international travel. Yeah, I mean, CP Racing have always had two cars, even in the previous days of the SLS, the Gullwing car. They've always had two cars, one at the front, one at the back. And now, I think now we're seeing what happened. They rotate them. It makes it a bit easier to life the parts, and it makes it a bit easier to manage these short turnarounds. Because obviously this car, I would imagine, will become their Golf 6-hour car, which is the week after the 24. But obviously, it does also mean if you have a terrible moment during the Dubai 24-hour build-up, you haven't got to go do the thing which you've seen so often before of scurrying around trying to borrow bits from other people or trying to rent a car, because you've got a second car sitting in the back of the garage. So, you know, as always, with Charles Putnam, a very professional way of going racing.
Century back to the top in GT4, except I've just lost them. There they are, in 13th position, with the flag of St. George next to them, rather than the Union flag.
Oh, well, yeah, it's all the rage at the moment with the World Cup going on, isn't it?
Of course it is.
We're England, Wales, Scotland, and Ireland for a few weeks, and then we'll be back together again to moan about everyone else.
I'm sure FIFA really get annoyed about that. They want a UK team, don't they?
Which is why everybody was so careful. I'm not overly sure that that FIFA have a right to ask for anything at the moment. Let's keep going.
Let's not go there, no. Normally, we're very complimentary about how football does things and how motorsport perhaps could learn a few lessons about how they administer games, and maybe we could administer it races. However, a bit further up the tree, perhaps it's not as clear cut.
No, but in fairness, you take the F out of FIFA and it's just as much a muck up for us, isn't it, really?
It's EFA. The Team GP Elite then with about 7/10 of an advantage at the moment from Team Kuwait in second. It's the two Porsches. Then CP Racing, they are about another 3/4 of a second behind on average at the moment. But the fastest time, I suggested that might have been Shane Lewis in the car. Still haven't got the drivers coming through there for that. A 1:53.048. I'm not sure we've seen anything much quicker or indeed at all quicker than that. And that has even eclipsed the GP Elite 1:53.2, which was set a couple of laps ago. So the CP Racing car, fastest in this second qualifying. And I think that is one of the fastest of the week so far.
Something to bear in mind, that is 5 seconds quicker than Charles Putnam. I mean, Charles had a bit more fuel, but also had fresher tyres. So it does go to show there's a lot of time to be made as you finesse your drivers through this mixed ability lineup.
And the key thing as well, of course, is how do you set the car up and how do you work your way through? There's no point if your best driver is 10 or 12 seconds quicker than your next best driver, who's 3 or 4 seconds better than your next best driver. You've got to make sure that everyone can drive the car consistently. So in some ways, having your best driver being brilliant, it's not always the best thing to do. Now, good drivers are always going to drive around things and make things better, but you've got to have everybody feeling comfortable in the car. And that's the beauty of this type of racing. It is pretty much, it's a compromise for everybody every time you get in the car.
Yeah, and in many ways, actually, it's a more simple conundrum than normal because it's a 12-hour straight through. You won't worry about the halfway break.
Very
who do you
point.
Put in? Where do you have to stay on the lead lap? It's 12-hour start to finish. I can't remember when. The last time I remember doing that was in Brno, which was that weird race, which was a 12-hour for the FIA. Then they ran an extra 12 hours to make it a 24 hours for the rest of the championship. That was when the first year it was an FIA championship. But yes, so you're going 12 hours straight through. 2 hours, of course, needs to be run by each driver to qualify within the non-fully pro teams, of which you have none. So you have to run 2 hours. Your slowest and your fastest driver can be mixed around in that. So you have to work out when the best time to do it. And as you quite rightly say, it's always best to set your car up, which makes it as comfortable as possible for your slower drivers, because they will therefore produce their best. And they normally have a much wider margin of improving. You know, you might say from the best your best driver can do to the worst, it is like a second. It might be 3 or 4 seconds with your more amateur drivers.
Coming down to 2 minutes to go in this second of three qualifying sessions this evening. There is going to be an additional 45 minutes practice session at the end of this. For those of you here at the track, please do stay on. And then we'll be back tomorrow, after this session, we'll be back tomorrow at 11:15 local time. Nick will bring us on the air for the pre-race show, including Nick's now famous grid walk. If you haven't seen and heard this before, then put aside any thought of grid walks that you've seen by any other broadcaster in any other series. Because it will not be anything like that. It is much, much, much better. I'm embarrassing Nick now because he's standing next to me. 1:52.721 last time around for CP Racing. That's the first 1:52 I've seen. That's a big jump there. And that has pulled them up the standings. Their average now down to a 55.4. So that's given them a good couple of seconds and change on the field behind them and will, I think, cement their place on the inside of row two for the Hankook 12 hours here at Kuwait Motor Town tomorrow, Nick. That's an excellent lap.
I mean, it is, but of course, some teams have gone fastest first and some teams have gone slowest first. So that difference between second and third, which is currently on average is 0.6 of a second, is quite easy. If the third driver for the Team Kuwait is the 47 car is not, is their more gentleman driver, it might be that they actually will be usurped, because of course, we know it's Espen Laab or Joe Foster, who are both obviously pretty quick drivers. Both of them have been race instructors for many years, in as well as professionals in other businesses. That's not all decided yet. I think the 54-1, I must admit, average we currently have by Team GP Elite probably will be without them, unless they have a very, very slow third driver, and I don't think they do. I think they've got some good, very good local drivers there.
As the checkered flag is now out and people repair to the pit lane, hopefully not for repairs. I'm just looking at the differences of what's going on here. So GP Elite, first qualifying driver, 55-1, second, 53-2. Team Kuwait, 54-5, 55-0. So are they going a different way? What are we going to see from the third driver there? Is there an opportunity for CP Racing, who did 58 flat, 52-7? Interesting, isn't it? The top three are all GT3 cars. Fourth is the best of the GTX at the moment, with one qualifying session still to go. There hasn't more than racing. Razoon more than racing, number 714. That is the KTM. Then QMMF by HRT. Thorea, that's the another GT car. And that's the best of the 992 AM category cars. Their average of 57.9 ahead of second in that category, Vili Motorsports by AB Motors. That's another Porsche. 159.5 by third in that class. Red Camel's Jordan Elena. That's a bit of a surprise to me. Just crossing the line there and does improve to a 58.6. So that's pulled them a wee bit closer. But they've got their car a wee bit late. In TC, it's the two TCR category leaders, BBR. We expect that Thai team to go so well. They have been, when they finished, they've been invincible. They didn't finish at Spa, did they? They had the brake trouble and went straight on at Spa. But the other car won. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
They had that very bizarre incident at the final corner, final complex, ahead of AC Motorsport by 0.7 of a second at the moment. In third in the category is Wolf Power Racing in the 116 Audi. Fourth is the first of the Hoffa Racing by Bonk Motorsport, BMW Club Sports, or Competition Sport. And the slightly less powerful one, the 332, is behind them. Remember, no Lipert Lamborghini, no HRT Performance, number 928, and no QMF by HRT Sohail Kata car. Those three cars still on the way here. Should mention as well, actually, a little bit of a nasty moment for QMMF. It was the 929 car, was it?
Yeah.
Or was it the 928?
The 928's not running, is it?
All right, so it was the 929 in the dark purple colours, yeah. Ready purple colours. That car went off at turn four, which is the downhill chicane, and had to come back on a flatbed. And it seemed to me as that they might have swapped their cars over, their transponders over, to get their other team out in the next session. But good to see that car back out again.
Yeah, I mean, I think it didn't look too badly damaged, so it's most likely it done something suspension-y.
Yeah. Yeah. That would have been the 930, wouldn't it? It was the 930, the QMF.
No, that hasn't arrived
but
yet.
But that car hasn't arrived yet. Yeah, that's the one. So they did get that car sorted out. So, Nick, excited for tomorrow before we bring Joe in for this final session?
Of course. I mean, it's a chance to get in the sun and bounce up and down the pit lane. Why would I not be excited about it?
What do you think of the midday to midnight? It does mean that they pretty much... In fact, I think it will be the majority of the race will be running
dark. Start by five. Yeah, that's fantastic because it's lit. But I can't help thinking that 10 till 10 would be better just because you'd have had more hours in daylight. But, you know, I'm sure it's what the drivers asked for, you know, and it's fine.
Keeps you out the heat of the day,
it's
I suppose.
It's actually fine for us being later because it's not bad here because, by the way, this grandstand is absolutely due north.
Yeah, Phil and I were saying this.
To the compass, it's exactly due north. It's not even like 1 degree off. to keep it cool, of course, you said rise in the east, which is at pit out, sets in the west, which is
I
pit
don't
in.
Think there has been sunshine in the pit lane today.
No.
It hasn't come far enough across from the shadow of the stand to actually reach to the working lane of the pit lane.
Which is great news for two of us.
Yeah, well, and the teams as well. Nick, thank you very much. We'll talk to you tomorrow from the grid. He will be the first voice you hear at 11:15 at local time tomorrow. Are you listening to Radio Show Limited live from Kuwait Motor Town? Good to have your company. It's all gone quiet over there. Well, down there, actually. Not a football chant, but actuality, as Joe Bradley joins me in the pit lane. Good evening, Joseph.
Good evening, John. Good evening, everybody.
Actually joins me in the booth rather than the pit lane.
That's what you mean,
I expected you in the pit lane. I'll ask you the same question. What's your first impressions of Kuwait Motor Town?
Man, what a track.
Yeah, they're great.
It is, you know what? It's got everything, hasn't it? It's got high speed sections, it's got undulations, it's got slow speed sections, it's got two very tight hairpins, it's got heavy braking. It's, you know what, as looking at it from race car engineering point of view, I don't know where you would start. Because, especially, can you imagine considering aero as well as suspension geometry?
Well, what do you do here? As you've been a team manager. What do you tell your engineers? There are three very long straights, which in distance are probably more than getting on for maybe half the track, maybe certainly well over a third of the track. Do you set your car up skinny for that, or do you set the car up with a bit of downforce for the middle of the track from 2 to probably 17, 18, and to make sure the car's not sliding around to save your Hankook tyres?
Well, as a team manager, I'd tell me engineer to listen to the drivers and have a look at the data, because the data's going to tell you if you compromise your straight line speed, how much is that losing you in the twisty bits? So it's going to become a compromise. And as well as that, depending on the ability and the experience of your drivers, that's going to be a factor as well.
Let's take you around the track. If you haven't seen the track map, get online, 24hseries.com. There's a great online magazine as well. You've written your behind the garage door for that this one.
Yeah. It's been a first here. It's the first international motor race, the first FIA sanctioned motor race of any sort here. And so I looked into firsts, and guess what? I went back to the very beginning of the advent of motorsport when, you know, the second bloke built an internal combustion engine and met another bloke with an internal combustion engine.
I'll race you to the third tree on the right.
Well, it was, I'll race you to the next town.
Yeah, exactly.
And it evolved from that, you know?
So if you go across the start-finish line, I'll start at the final corner, actually, T20. You come out of turn 20. And you've got just under 900 metres to turn one, which is barely a lift for most of these cars. I think on a qualifying lap and low fuel and new Hankook tyres, you're probably flat in the GT3 cars.
It's been talking to some of the guys. Joe Foster, for instance, said it took him about five laps before he gave it, and he put his thumb under his chin and said, and I managed to go through flat. It's one of those corners that you can take flat, but you've got to get it right.
You've got to be absolutely spot on. We saw a couple of people well off onto the runoff on the driver's right, which is actually towards the pit lane exit.
The motorcycle curbing helps because you can turn. If you get your turn in a little bit early, you can just use the curb. But getting it just a couple of metres late, you're going to... And thankfully, there's some runoff curbing as well.
So through turn one, that fast left-hander, you come up over the brow of a hill, actually, and the track narrows just as the pit lane exit. And it's a very long pit lane exit, by the way. There's time to be made up there. Down into turn two, it's a tricky little downhill entrance to turn two. And as you turn in, it's then slightly banked and immediately starts to go up and really helps you at that point.
It's slightly more than 90 degrees as well.
So it's
a big, big use of the brakes.
Yeah.
You know, probably 150, 100 metre board, and it's you're using the brakes, maximising the brakes. But then you can carry speed into that because it immediately starts going uphill to the left. And so you can carry speed in and help the gradient take off the speed.
The problem is, and Nick was talking about how flat this place is, coming over the top there, and it is the top of a rise, you can't see turn three or four. You cannot see the curbing on the left-hand side for turn three. Until you've already turned in.
You've got to know where it is, because you're turning in. It's like, can you imagine in a single-seater where your backside's a couple of inches from the ground? You've got to know where to turn in, and it's a timing thing. You come out of turn two, and then it's a timing thing. As you go over the brow, you've turned in, and hopefully you've got it right.
Down through turn four, track limits there because you can really straight line that.
Yeah.
In turn five and six, which is the
You've got to be disciplined at turn four. It's not that easy. You've got to be disciplined because you're going to be picked up. It's kind of a corner that's going, come on, use me. Use all of the curb. Put the car over the curb. But you can't because you'll get pinged.
Then that long, long, long left-hander at turns five.
Have you seen anything like that before?
No. No, only on an oval.
Do you know what one of the guys who Nick and I were talking about who designed that, he calls that section patience.
Yeah, very good. Patience, that's what we're going to call it. Yeah. I like that. We'll do the rest of the lap throughout the weekend because there's a lot to talk about all the way around. Got some times coming in. Oh, 152.389 for the Porsche number 47. And that is the Team Kuwait by MRS Racing. Now, Zayed Ashkenani's name's behind that, but I think he was the first driver in that car, unless we were being misled earlier on. But that is the fastest time in this session. And indeed, that, I think, is the fastest time we've seen in competitive running this week. 152.3, yes, it is. That's very, very impressive indeed. And that surely will cement pole position for that car. I suggested that we might see the 85 car move up. I was wondering what was going to happen to the QMF by HRT. And at the moment, that car hasn't got a representative time, that 979 car.
You were right about the 85 as well. It was Shane Lewis in that car second.
Just something about the way...
Yeah.
Do you know what? Do you know where I decided that was? When I was looking through the Pentagon, which is right in front of us, not the American intelligence building, but or seat of military government or whatever, military operations. It's a 5 apex corner, hence the Pentagon.
Threepenny bit.
50 pence piece for us.
Well, there's only people of a certain age and from a certain part of the world that would
threepenny
understand
bit had more corners
bit,
than that. So it was just how smooth he was through and how little braking he used for 14 and
Did
15.
He, really?
He just carried his pace through. Beautiful. I thought, that'll be Shane. So he's now up to second. Ooh, only for a moment, though, because the number 32 has bounced back. That's the Team GP Elite. That was the car that I was looking for. Wondering why we hadn't seen a time there. 154.8. 152.851 for whoever's in the 85 car at the moment. So that's barely a tenth away from Shane's time last time. And tyres have been 152.111 for the number 47 Team Kuwait machine. Now, if that is Zayed Ashkenani, I did think his name was by the car in the early running, but we had no names at all in that last session. We'll find out by the time we speak to you next. So Team Kuwait, now these are the full averages by about half a second from Team GP Elite, the two Porsches, first and second. Then the Mercedes of CP Racing going for the championship this weekend, 155.2 in third position on average. 156.8, Razoon More Than Racing is the KTM Crossport GTX distinctive car. Then ARC Bratislava, next to the GT3 cars, 157.4. Big gaps here. Then a slew. Is that the right collective noun for Porsche Cup cars? Not sure. Rick Breuter's name is alongside that in the lead card. However, the Vili Motorsport by EB Motors cars go through. So it's Vili Motorsport and EB Motors, Red Camel. Then Rabdan Motorsport by Speed Lover. And then QMMF by HRT, those four 992 cars, two pros and two AMs in order there.
You know, the saying is you only need two cars to make a race. You know, I mean, we might have a small grid here for the first 12 hours of Q8, but it bodes very well if qualifying's got anything to go by.
And I'll tell you now, those 992 cars with the bigger fuel tank, with the longer pit stop cycles, they could well be leading the race.
The 992 cars?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, when I came here, I thought, you know, such a small GT3.
This is a 992 track.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think so. Especially when we start getting into that and field strategies coming into play and how we play the Code 60s. Yeah, I did think that. I agree with you totally there.
I think we'll see the lead 992 GT3 battle, which is the cup car class. I think we'll see. They're not that much slower At the moment, the times don't quite stack up here. But I've seen these cars in the right hands be barely a couple of seconds away from the current GT3 cars. Very, very quick.
Going back to the nature of this track, it reminded me a lot of Corta.
Well, there's a lot of Corta in this track.
What I mean by that is it's the sort of track where if the textbook says you should be over there, but actually you need to be over here because it's what's coming next in the next two turns.
And when I took you round Corta, which you could never get your head around that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I drove you around in an Audi RS6.
And I say that with Zayed Ashkenani putting in the quickest time.
I'm not sure it's Zayed in the car. I'm pretty certain he started that car.
All right, okay. But I was going to say local knowledge there.
Well, I'm saying that now. It was a 54.5, but it was definitely Zayed's car. I remember Phil mentioning his name. But let's assume... It might be Charles Espenard. Yeah, it will be Charles Espenard. All right, so maybe that is Zayed. Zayed's Ashkenani in that car with a 52.1. He may have a few laps around here. He's exceptionally quick. I've seen him in Super Trofeo, and he's exceptionally quick, and he learns a lap very quickly indeed. So maybe that is Zayed in that car.
Yeah.
We'll assume that it is. James Kerr listed behind the wheel of the second-in-class Aston Martin. The second-in-class TCE. James driving the number 188 AC Motorsport car. James, I think, was sitting right in front of you on the plane, wasn't he?
He was sitting behind me.
Oh, he was behind?
I stroked his hair while he was asleep. He didn't know. He didn't realise.
Told me he was kicking you in the back all the way through.
He wasn't quite that behind me. Another couple of British drivers out there and very, very close together. Bradley Ellis is in the number 429, which is great to see an Aston Martin here of any kind. And Nathan Freak, who is behind him in the number 450, which is the RH3 Beamer. It's the M4 GT4 BMW. Yeah, he's in there with the two American drivers, Darren Jorgensen and Brett Strom.
They only drive BMWs, those two.
Yeah, that's right.
I've got a feeling, we should probably ask Brett about this and Darren. They've got ties to BMW with aftermarket parts, if I remember rightly.
Brett was telling me he was at, was it Brett Strom who did the 6 hours of Bathurst?
Yes, he did. I think he got into this series, though, he came in, because he's raced in the States an awful lot.
Didn't he race a quarter
with
Crivelli?
He raced a quarter in 17.
Yeah, and then fell in love with the series.
Yes, absolutely.
He's been back a few times.
Yeah, good for them. So we've got exactly five cars in the pits with just on 2 minutes and 48 seconds to go. You're listening to live coverage from Kuwait Motor World. It's the Radio Show Limited team joining you, and thank you for being with us. Nick Damon and Phil Anson, we've heard from already. It's Joe Bradley and John Hindorf, Team Macam, the last couple of minutes.
I forgot to mention, of course, that Bradley Ellis is currently the quickest GT4 car with Nathan Frick in second.
Yes.
I forgot to mention that bit.
That's very, very close.
It is.
The lap averages there for the TCE cars, 201, sorry, wrong place for those two GT cars, 204.5, 204.7. That's averages for three drivers.
Yeah.
So that's very close.
You know what? That gives us a better indication of race pace, doesn't
Absolutely
it?
Absolutely right.
And you know, when we average those three fastest laps across the driver range as well, you know, just looking down that whole order, John, 21 cars entered. It's going to be a very, very tight race over the 12 hours. As bizarre as that sounds, it is. The other aspect I want to mention as well, with my team manager's hat on, doesn't matter what happens to your car, it is worth repairing it, putting it back together, putting a motor in it even, because, you know, you have got a chance of a good finish.
Everybody's running somewhere either just under or just over 2 minutes a lap. So if you're out for 45 minutes or an hour... All right, you've lost 30 laps, but somebody else might be out for an hour and a half.
You've got to consider that, because you might be taking some pain right now. It's worth it. You're gonna. There's a chance of a podium.
What you guys wanted down the pits earlier on today. What are the teams saying about brakes? 50 seconds to go, by the way. I'm watching to see if anybody's going to improve.
The only brake information I got was the TCR cars are probably going to be able to do 12 hours. However, it's an unknown world because we've got how many heavy braking areas did we see? About three?
Down at two, for sure.
Yeah, definitely two.
That is the biggest one for me.
The final turn, that's quick.
The final turn, and that's tricky as well over the top of the brown. Yeah. And it's been diamond ground off there because it's a little bit bumpy. Other than that, I wouldn't say there's any big brake. Those are the two most significant ones.
Yeah, but you're also going to be using the brake and overlapping the brake with the throttle and steadying the car through the fast sections. Joe Foster was telling me that there's a lot of areas where he's on and off the throttle, on and off the brake, and overlapping brake and throttle as well.
So out of turn 7 through 8, 9, 10, 11 and into 12. You were in the car yesterday. I was saying to Phil, that reminds me very much of 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and 7 at quarter.
Yeah, very much. That's deliberate, you know.
And the way to find time there was if you don't left foot brake, you need to, because you unconsciously go on and off the throttle. And every time you go on and off the throttle, even if you're just easing back a little bit, you're changing the pitch of the car.
Well, you're changing the suspension's going to load up in different ways.
And if you just drag the brake a little bit and you set your throttle, it's not necessarily set flat out, but if you set the throttle and just balance the car on the brake,
keeps the pitch of the car flat.
And that helps your tyres.
It does help your tyres.
Coming down in the last couple of minutes, Joe Bradley, John Hindorf at RSL underscore studio, lap 420, car number 429, getting a... That's Bradley Ellis, isn't it, in that GT Aston Martin. Having a disallowed track limits at turn 4. That's the one just over the top and down the hill, the sort of mini corkscrew area before you go into patience. I'm definitely calling that patience now.
It's well named, isn't it?
And then, turn 7's the same, actually. You can either hug the kerb and hook it up on the green paint on the inside and then floor it through the S's, or you make it two corners and you sort of V it off and go straight through the first part of 7 and then come back in and take the green paint and head towards the outside of turn 8. I think you get the throttle on earlier there, but are you going further? And are you leaving room up the inside?
It's the sort of track I'm pretty sure the drivers are going to say, I'm not sure I got anything right there. You know, there's always going to be an air of, I think I can do better.
Do you know who the busiest guys have been the last few days? All the guys in the pit lane have been busy. The busiest guys in the pit have been the data engineers because they've been working with the drivers.
Clean sheet of paper.
So basically what they've been saying is, so, you know, you'll have been on the radio going, right, I'm going to try something different now at turn 7. I'm going to do a couple of laps, tell me if it's better. Because what you feel in the car, you go, that feels great to me. Nah, you were 2/10 off, mate.
Exactly, right. Yes. Yeah.
Right. Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to start just dragging the brake through the S's. Oh, that felt horrible. Ah, no, well, you found a 1/10 and a half there.
And there are some areas where slow in, fast out works here.
Slow in, fast
so
out
here. So it's not about optimising necessarily the entry to the corner and mid-corner. It's sometimes, you know, patience.
Well, there's a lot of firsts this weekend, and not least that we're here. And if you are coming to see us over the weekend or you're here at the moment, tell your friends, because even the drive into the circuit is wonderful. You would not think this track was only 3 years old. The maturity of the planting on the lead, the avenue up to the circuit would flatter a circuit that's been there 15, 20 years. Absolutely unbelievable. Here is the first grid. Unofficially at the moment and subject to any post-race technical infringements in post qualifying tech, it will be. And how good is this for the newspapers? Hopefully we can get them into the newspapers overnight. It will be Team Kuwait by MRS on pole position for the first ever Kuwait Motortown 12 hours, Hankook 12 hours of Kuwait. Fantastic.
You'd be delighted. The chap who I referred to about the circuit design was Khalid Al-Mudaf.
Yes.
And Khalid's with that team.
Yeah.
So he'll be happy with that.
It's an all Porsche front row with Team GP Elite. Jesse Van Kriek was the last driver in that. CP Racing, championship leaders coming in here, and the champion of the continents. They will be on the inside of row 2. They will have the KTM Crossboard GTX of Razoon More Than Racing for company. That's the GTX pole sitter. On row number 3, it will be ARC Bratislava in that bright yellow and pinstriped a Lamborghini Huracan GT3. They're in fifth position. That's the number 44 car. Then we're into the battle for Porsche Carrera Cup and stealing a march, but maybe being on the wrong side of the track here. I don't know. Sixth position. Vili Motorsport by EB Motors. Sabino De Castro last in that car. That's the number 955. Behind them on row number four, redcameljordan.nl moved up into second there with Rick Breuters doing a cracking job in that last. That's the 909, the bright orange car. Then the Rabdan Motorsport by Speedlover 979 car is in eighth position. In ninth position, it's another 992 Porsche QMMF by HRT Thorea Carter. That's the 929 in ninth, as I say. Then we have the first of the TCE, the Touring Car Endurance machines. That's the TCR leader as well. And that's our championship leader, the form team, BBR, the all-tie driven car. Kantasas Kusiri was behind the wheel of that number 159 car at the end of qualifying. In the sixth row, on the sixth row, second in GTX, the Vortex V8, the orange and black machine, Philippe Bonnel was driving that car, and they will have second in TCR AC Motorsports for company in their Audi in position 12. That's the outside of row number six. Excuse me. Little bit dusty in the the booth here because we had the door open.
Well, we are in
row seven, Joe.
So where are we? 14th. 13th, 14th is the Bradley Ellis and Nathan Frick GT4 battle. And their cumulative times, 2 minutes 4.5 for Brad Ellis's team, the car 429, and the 450 Nathan Frick, 2 minutes 4.7. Only 0.2 seconds in it, with Andreas Backerud in the 491. He's third in GT4 on a 2 minute 7.2 cumulative.
And that is Andreas Backerud, World Rallycross champion, by the way, in the Cayman GT4 for Lion Speed. So they're on the inside of row number eight. Wolf Power Racing, TCR championship winning team, are next up.
So TCE, the Touring Car Endurance Series, third overall in TCE, is Mohamed Al Sabah. He's in the number 116 car, and the accumulative time there for that one is 2 minutes 11.9. Next up in TCE will be the BMW battle, the Touring Car battle, the Touring Car class indeed. 2 minutes 18.4, Martin Krull in the 331, and then Michael Bonk, the final, third and final driver to finish the 3-3-2. That's going to be a two-car battle throughout the 12 hours. Their cumulative time, 2:22. But don't be mistaken that. That's going to be a battle all the way through the 12 hours.
Cars we didn't see tonight, Leipert Motorsports Lamborghini Huracan. That's the Super Trofeo car, number 710. The 928 and the 930, the two HRT Performance Porsches, HRT with their own car, and then QMMF by HRT, Suhail Kata. Those three cars, not quite at the track yet. We hope to see those in the morning, and I'm sure they will get the opportunity to go out. So then, the headlines read, home team on top. This is not the World Cup. This is the first ever running of the Hankook 12 Hours here at the Kuwait Motor City. Congratulations to the drivers of Team Kuwait by MRS GT Racing. Rob was our engineer up in London. It's been an Herculean task by our TV colleagues at Nils Weisweit and the 0221, our German colleagues, for getting even us on the air here. So thank you to Flip and the rest of the audio and visual team. Also, my thanks go to Phil Anson and to Nick Damon, who you heard earlier on, as well as Joe Bradley. I'm John Hindhoff, signing off on this Thursday evening. Hope you can join us tomorrow. Remember, it's race day tomorrow, and we will be on the air for the pre-race with all the atmosphere from the grid, Nick on his grid walk, and the green flag. It all starts at 11:15 Kuwait time. That is 8:15 in the UK, 9:15 in Central Europe. And you can hear it all on RS1 and see it all on radio-show.co.uk and on the series website. Sound and Vision starts tomorrow with the pre-race for the Kuwait Motor Town Hankook 12 Hours of Kuwait. Have a good evening. Bye-bye for now.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.